Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another episode of Scatter Chatter. I'm your boy, Jeff Ray.
Hey, and this is Will 93. And again, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Really do appreciate it. Hey, feel free to leave your comments below on the bottom of the page so that we can start to share your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions, actually, with the rest of the audience. And with that being said, today is just a special moment here. We were just talking before the show started. But, Ray, hit them with the topic. Let them know what we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, wait. But before we go into that, we're about to hit episode 21. So,
21.
We've been going strong. And we've shown social responsibility. But yeah, I don't want to give it too much away because we have a very special guest. We're doing a part two interview with Dr. Savoy Brummer. Hello, doctor. How are you doing again?
Hey, what's up, folks? How you doing? Blessed as always.
Can you give us another brief introduction of who you are, and then we'll just go right into it and let you do your thing, and we'll do a Q&A.
Sure, yeah. So my name is Dr. Savoy Brummer. I am the vice president of Western Business for Vitality, and we see about 7 million patients across the United States. We've got about $1 billion in revenue, and my job is to help build local practices of emergency departments across the country. And right now we are really focusing on managing this coronavirus pandemic and trying to save the communities and neighborhoods that our people live in. So just really blessed to be here. And again, just want to thank the two of you all for bringing more awareness to what our communities are dealing with, and to bring some clarity to the folks that are a part of the Scatter Chatter universe. So just want to say thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know what? Today, I just want to dedicate today to this show, if I could, to Sean Boyne. He is one of my oldest friends. Unfortunately, he just passed away today, secondary to coronavirus. He's actually in Washington, D.C. I just want to send my condolences to his family, and I just want to dedicate this show to him and just really remember just how special he was and how much of a light he brought to Howard University and all my people there. So just want to dedicate the show to him.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
Thank you for
Absolutely.
Sharing that. Bro.
Yeah. Thank
By
you.
By the nation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man,
okay.
It's moments like that when we were just talking about it. Like I said before the show, and we talk about statistics. You know, those numbers actually mean something, or someone actually.
Absolutely.
When you hear about it, it's like, this number's crazy. It's staggering. It's growing. But then when it hits home, close to you, it's someone that you can reach out and touch, or someone you've touched before. I mean, people in your immediate circles, family members. It really does something to your psyche. I know it does for me.
Absolutely. I mean, it's especially, you know, being a doctor, we're supposed to be very focused. But, you know, when you're trying to manage going into an emergency department, or you're dealing with other people's lives, but then when you have people who your friends and your family are also being affected, like this mission becomes personal, the personal piece becomes a journey, the journey becomes just, you know, there's a lot of weight and responsibility for everyone who's out there, who's risking their lives. And so, you know, all this is a purpose, you know, and you know, you got to wake up every day and appreciate your friends and family, and everybody has a part to play in this. And so that's why these broadcasts are important, really, so that people can see that everyone, it's not just the doctors, but, you know, the social responsibility of everyone, that's what matters, you know. And so that's why, again, I just want to thank you guys for spreading that message on your podcast.
Well, thank you. Man. Appreciate it.
Man, I'm getting kind of choked up over here, Doc, man. It is, man.
I mean, for him to come on the show, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, just to be here with us during this moment, it's a big thing. And he still showed up. Yeah, so that's big. And, yeah, I appreciate that. And, yeah, condolences go to the family of your friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Beautiful kid, you know, and a wife. And, again, you know, this cat was a pharmacist, you know, front lines, you know, gave his life. So, again, all the healthcare providers who are out there, just, you know, I'm praying for all y'all, and, you know, we got some work to do, but, you know, gotta keep walking the walk, man. Anyway, so let's talk about what we can do for the community. What kind of questions are people, what kind of feedback they gave you guys, and what kind of things, because, you know, there are a couple things that I think are good topics to discuss. What you guys got?
Okay, so wait, before we go into that, so, Doc, was there something that you wanted to just hit us over the head with real quick, or do you want to go into the question?
Yeah.
Let me let
you
go first.
Well, you know what? You know, I think the big topic of the day is, again, like what we're going to do when it comes to masks. There have been various recommendations. The World Health Organization originally told us that wearing masks was not a great idea. That was actually confirmed by plenty of domestic health companies. But now, you know, they're reversing some of their recommendations. And, you know, I just want to explain why that is. Most of the cases, up to 50% of the cases of coronavirus, were received from people who didn't even know that they had symptoms. And so the purpose of wearing a mask is to make sure that for all of those people who may have coronavirus and not know it, to make sure that they're not spreading the virus, right? That is the biggest reason why these recommendations were made. It's not necessarily to provide overall protection, you know, for when you just go to, you know, the grocery store, but it's really there are all these asymptomatic carriers. So, you know, I just want to, again, you know, communicate to folks that if you do wear a mask, make sure you wash your hands, make sure that you, when you're removing and taking it off, you consider that that mask is now dirty and immediately drop it off and either put it in the washing machine if it's just a bandana, throw it in the trash can if it's a disposable mask. But just be very, very careful to decontaminate yourself when removing and taking on your mask, or else you're not going to be doing yourself any favors. So I think that that's the biggest change in recommendation, and I just want to make sure that people, especially those who are listening from New York, understand what you need to do, because it's not just wearing the mask, but it's putting it on correctly, removing it correctly, and making sure that you're not contaminated by doing that. And that's something that I think is really missed, and people aren't really discussing that, you know, obviously on the news or any other place.
So, Doctor, in that regard, like, you have the mask, right? So you have one of the reusable ones. If you're spraying it down with 70% isopropyl alcohol and you just let it stay, like, in a permanent place, like on a towel or something like that, or on a surface, is that enough to clean it, like, if you wanted to do that?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a really great question, because it's the same question that we're asking about some of these heavy-duty N95 masks. And there are various ways to sterilize it. I actually just asked the American College of Emergency Physicians to look at ways that we can standardize how we sterilize these masks, because there's no formal recommendation that's being made.
Right.
And when I say that, there's not been a lot of research for how to sterilize masks by coronavirus. I mean, it's been so new.
Right.
But
right.
I would recommend several things. Number one, heat typically kills the virus. So if you could you do a combination of keeping the mask over some boiled water and having that steam actually sterilize the mask, in addition to putting, like you said, high concentration alcohol, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's been shown that the virus can live on surfaces once every it kind of dies out after at maximum 3 days. So if
right.
you can go into using that mask, right, like you, hopefully most people are staying indoors, but if you can go at least 3 days before you having to reuse the mask, that's also really important.
Right.
If you have a towel cleaner, a lot of people actually bought a towel cleaner for about $120, but it's got UV mm-hmm. light. UV light has been known to actually destroy the virus as well. And so
right.
I personally, you know, I'm using this little towel cleaner to heat the mat. I put it inside. It heats the mat, and the UV rays kill the bugs. I do that for about a half hour, and I reuse it. So there are various ways that you can do it, but just depending on the resources, those are some things that you can think about.
So here's also on the mask thing, right? So you have, like, the heavy-duty industrial N95s, and then you have the ones with the replaceable filters. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you, like, say people have to go out for grocery shopping, can I use it more than once?
Yeah.
And, or, you know what I'm saying, as long as I put it in a safe place, or should I keep, you know, keep throwing things away and reusing? Like, what's the best recommendation? Because it's like not a lot of people have the resources to just go out and buy the N95 masks or the filters because they're so hard to get, and you're waiting for orders and things of that nature. So what's the best practices when it comes to that?
No, I totally agree. You know, the problem is that even if you want an N95, you're not going to. And
right.
And frankly, we need to not be trying to get N95 masks, and we need to make sure that our healthcare professionals that are really dealing with a higher concentration of this viral load, you know, you're dealing with these folks that are coughing on you and sneezing on you, those are the people who should be using those N95s. So, you know, the other layers, whether they're scarves, bandanas, that's actually what New York City
mm-hmm.
is recommending right now, or the disposable masks, any of those are useful. Again, if you have enough disposable masks to get rid of them in a short manner, then I would recommend you doing that. So, but if you don't, and I think most people don't, I think that it would be more advisable for those disposable masks to do like you had done, you know, douse it in alcohol, you know, either boil it over, not boil the mask, but boil water and have the steam sterilize it, those type of things, so that you can reuse the mask more than one time.
Okay.
Okay.
So kind of like, coming from a profession of maybe a cook, right, and we're talking about instruments. So we're talking about maybe like a boiling pot of water over like one of those sieves, one of those flour sifters, boil water,
mm-hmm.
put the mask
mm-hmm.
in it, and let the steam kind of like cook it. Or do you think,
yep.
I hate to ask this,
mm-hmm.
but maybe can I add like maybe like a baking soda or salt solution and then like steam? Would that like help it? Or do we just rely on the water and let it do its thing?
Yeah, it's because it's the heat that is working. It's not the ingredients, right? So it can only live a certain, and I forget, a certain degree Celsius at this point, right? So, again, it's a combination of once you put that steam over your mask and then, again, spray it with some heavy concentration rubbing alcohol. Those are the types of things that you can do to try to sterilize them.
Okay, and mm-hmm. one last question in regards to the mask sterilization. What do you think on witch hazel?
Excuse me, on witch hazel for the mask?
Yeah, are you using that instead of like the isopropyl alcohol?
The only recommendations that I've seen are for isopropyl alcohol, and it's
okay.
You know what? It's funny. that, you know, that's actually a really good point. So one of my friends brought over a hand sanitizer, and that hand sanitizer was, you know, my kids were using that to wash their hands, and I looked at it, and it was just kind of little soap that smelled real great, and I was like, let me see that soap. And that soap had only 10% isopropyl alcohol. What you're really looking for is, you know, 60 to 70% isopropyl alcohol concentration. Uh-huh. And so, you know, people, especially when they're using, especially girls when they're using or that really fruity smelling hand cream or hand washing soap, that's not actually strong enough to be washing their hands, but people are thinking that it actually is. So a lot of things are being sold by Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, you really got to watch out for that. And, you know, it's fascinating. So my girlfriend Lisa, her mom had this stuff, and I had to make sure that I called her up because obviously older folks especially need to be aware that, you know, you don't want to have be washing their hands and thinking that they're decontaminating themselves when, you know, the product wasn't meant for that. So make sure that everyone reads the labels and understands exactly what they're using to clean themselves.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. That's good insight.
Okay.
Good insight, Doc.
But, I mean, well, here's the thing. Worst comes to worst. If I can't find those specialized things, just wash your hands often. Is that enough?
What now? I'm sorry?
I'm saying if you can't find these specialized things, like just wash your hands with soap often for 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's singing
warm.
Like the happy birthday song.
Yeah.
Just wash your hands.
Yeah.
Keep your hands washed.
Yeah. Warm soap, 30 seconds. Sing the songs. I don't know. I've heard Back That Thing Up to, you know, Beyonce, whatever songs you need to do. Yeah, do that.
Right.
If that's what you need to know what 30 seconds is, you know, go ahead and do that.
Right.
And you're better than doing nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Wow, that's it. Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and jump in right now because
this
first question is a little bit more personal because it's talking about pregnancy, being at home and being pregnant. My youngest sister, she is about 16 weeks pregnant, and she was worried about contracting coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for instance, she was tested positive for it. How would we handle that? Because she has another child there. Her husband is there. How might someone handle this?
Right. From the evidence that we've seen right now, even moms that have COVID-19, the virus does not appear to pass the placental barrier. And so
we don't see
in the limited, you know, cases that we've been able to understand, we don't see it being transmitted through birth. Okay. And again, it's still kind of out for assessment, but that's not what we've seen
so far.
And I think that also correlates to the very small number of infants and newborns that have actually died, even in China, secondary to COVID-19.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's good insight. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Let's see. Right. Go ahead with the second question.
Okay, second question. Okay, so I see a lot of like runners and joggers in my neighborhood. Some of them are not masked up, and some of them are just like raw dogging it with no shirt on. Like, can I go running? Yeah, I seen it.
Yeah,
guy had his no shirt on. He had his dog, no mask. Like, can I go running? Can I go hiking?
Yeah.
And if I can, what should I be doing? Of course, from what I heard, mask is preferential.
Right. And you know what, to be honest with you, what we've seen is that unlike previously thought, coronavirus is aerosolized. And so people can cough and it can stay in the air for some considerable amount of time, and you could actually walk past somebody who was coughing and still catch it, right? So what we're not saying do not run. We're not saying do not exercise. We're saying be smart about it. Be aware. I would not personally – I mean, I walk with my family – probably once every couple of days, and I have them run around the house. And I have them run outside in my yard. But when I start walking around the block, I put a fair distance in between the people who are around me, and I don't walk directly behind them. I actually walk a little bit to the side because I just want to be smart, and I want to minimize whatever risk that I'm putting my family through. So I would say absolutely you can run. It is preferable if you do run alone. I think the issue is, especially out here in L.A., you know, folks are running at Runyon Canyon and they're staying in packs, and they don't understand that just even being in a closer area is putting them potentially at risk. So as long as you're running by yourself, shirt or no shirt, you know, it's completely acceptable. But again, you know, you have to be responsible, and you shouldn't be overdoing it.
Okay.
Well, so, let me add on to that one then, because I'm kind of curious, because I run and I cycle. Wind direction. Here in Nashville, we've been having some pretty high wind. So if it is an airborne thing, it's going to dissipate, wouldn't it, with these high winds?
Sure, correct. So it would definitely dissipate, but it could still stay in the air for a long period. You know, the honest, you know, assessment is that, you know, someone could sneeze hard, and then that virus load could be swept for miles and miles, right? And depending on what your own immune status is to that virus, you know, you could have a very small amount of load, and you end up catching coronavirus, right? So it's one of those things where many countries are putting their neighborhoods and cities on complete lockdown, and they're saying you don't even exit the house. Again, many of those places are like Italy, where people are living on top of each other, similar to New York, Chicago, you know, parts of D.C. And so it really is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. My recommendation for people in Nashville, where you can cycle and houses are fairly spread apart, is very different than what my recommendations would be in Brooklyn, you know? Because if you're in Brooklyn, I would say just try to, you know, stay indoors as much as you possibly can. And so it really depends on the community and the population density. But I would definitely, from a practical perspective, stay indoors most of the time, understanding that you'll go crazy if you never go outside, right? I mean, it would be impractical to be asked to stay indoors for 3 months at a time and never go outside. That is an unpractical expectation. But again, use your best judgment and do so in a safe and responsible manner.
Good word. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
Those are some interesting questions that are running through my mind as well, like as far as like weather patterns, wind. Like, does that affect things and, like, even the hot temperature? And sometimes I think, like, I should just go outside when it's the hottest to kind of, like, avoid
that type
of situation.
You know, we don't know if there's any seasonality to this virus. We haven't really seen that yet. But I don't think it really matters as understanding that the warmer it gets, obviously the virus does not do as well. But, you know, again, when we talk about sterilizing things, it's not like outside is the temperature of boiling water, right? So we just don't know. We don't really don't have that type of information. If you look at the different climates where the coronavirus has broken out, you know, we see that Australia, it's it was the summertime, and Tom Hanks was still getting it, right? So the thought is that it's not necessarily a temperature, that there's not a seasonality that we're necessarily going to see. So we don't have all these answers, but the evidence so far is not indicating that that's something that will help us. So going outside at the top of the morning versus 3 or 4 o'clock
midday.
In the afternoon, we don't see that that's going to really make a difference.
Okay. All right.
I was just thinking of something, Doc, and I'm going to share with you just for an education piece. You had mentioned Brooklyn, living on top of one another. Those apartments are connected by air vents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm starting to picture, like, okay, if there were a significant amount of people who had tested positive who are on self-quarantine until worse symptoms show, could the air that they breathe transmit through the air vent system and affect other people who may not have been tested positive yet?
You know what? Yeah.
I guess.
Sure.
I mean, it's the equivalent of breaking into jail.
Right. No, I mean, I'm not an engineer and I'm not an architect. And, you know, I think that the air systems probably have angles because some of these are pre-war. Some of these are pre-war or pre-war buildings, right? And so, you know, I'm sure that they probably had some way that they were thinking about that. But, you know, other places were built, you know, in Philadelphia. These places were built in the 1700s. And especially some places by Williamsburg, you know, I'm sure they're older places. And you make a really great point, something I'd never thought about before. But obviously, it's not like you're in a segmented home, or it's not like that you're in a apartment that's newer that obviously has air filters and all the other types of things. But I think if you're in a pre-war, older home, obviously that is a consideration. And again, I don't know the answer, but you know, you bring up a really interesting topic as to, you know, why even in New York, maybe why that curve is so steep, because there's only certain limitations that people can put upon themselves because of their living situation. So that's really something I never thought about, and maybe something that we should be talking about. You know,
I think I'm going to be doing some research on that.
Yeah, because maybe there are filters that people can purchase or should be purchasing in their home. You know, hey, maybe you just had a literally $1 billion idea right there, man. It's a really interesting job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
You mentioned Brooklyn, and I got family in Brooklyn, and I'm like,
Yeah.
What if? Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Okay.
Ray, what you got for us, man?
Oh, I thought you were on the next one.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
So a couple of these questions were repetitive, but it says, I caught it. What should I do? I said, positive, what should I do? Or I think I mentioned with you about my sister being pregnant, being in some kind of potential isolation situation. If I'm not symptomatic, I would assume just
to
self-quarantine. Nothing.
Right. Stay at your house, right? And if people have small symptoms, such as a sore throat, little fever, little cough, just stay at home. Treat it like it's a normal cold. You don't need to even necessarily go out to get testing. Again, we have limited testing capability right now. Just stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's literally nothing to do. And, you know, let me say something else, though. You know, I told you that I'm doing telemedicine. So people are calling in with their complaints and because they don't want to go to emergency departments. I think, unfortunately, people that there's so much mass hysteria that people who really should be going into the hospital are not. And these people who have normal appendicitis, you know, their belly is hurting. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. They're so afraid of getting coronavirus that they're trying to ignore their heart attack, or they're ignoring their appendicitis. There is a lady that I treated today, and she was 69, passed out, has a blood pressure machine at her house, had a blood pressure of 80 over 40, which was low blood pressure,
whoa,
and broke her ankle. And she showed me her broken ankle, and I'm like, you need to go to the emergency department. And she didn't want to go. She's like, I'm just afraid of catching coronavirus. And I'm like, let me tell you something. Coronavirus is not your problem right now. That is not – even in people who are 80 and above, there is an 8% chance if you contract it that you're going to die. That's a 92%
right.
chance of living, right? So
– right.
But you know what? The chances of dying when your blood pressure is 88 and you're passing out is a lot higher than you dying of coronavirus. So, you know, folks,
right.
if you all have true medical conditions, if you have chest pain, if you have really severe fevers with abdominal pain, you know, please, you know, the emergency department is still the safest place to go. Please understand that, you know, we are separating patients who we think are positive for this virus versus the general population to protect our patients. So if there mm-hmm. is any real reason to go, please do not, you know, don't become so hysterical over the daily news cycle that, you know, you look at the bread and butter problems that you're experiencing in your life. So that's just
right.
PSA to still going.
Well, I want to say something too. I want to ask you this. When are the symptoms like real versus like the minor aches and pains of age? Like, what
right.
if you're 50 and you're having body aches and you've been having them?
Sure.
Like, when do
you know,
like, it's just like, this is a wrap. I gotta stay in my room. Like, when do you know that you know?
Right. So I tell folks the reasons why most people pass away are predominantly first the pneumonia, right? And mm-hmm. If you start getting significantly short of breath, like,
mm-hmm.
that's when you got to go to the ER. You're going to get a cough. You're going to get a fever. You're going to get muscle aches. You could have diarrhea. You could have all kinds of symptoms. But if you start getting short of breath, like you can't breathe, you need to go
mm-hmm.
to the hospital. Okay? That's
okay.
the biggest one.
Okay.
You know, there are other symptoms that people have. Again, you know, if you're dehydrated and passing out, if you're older, if you start getting chest pain, that could be signs of you getting a heart attack. There are many times
mm-hmm.
in which this virus kills people because of the heart conditions that they have. So make sure
right.
that, you know, if you're starting to have a chest pain or shortness of breath, those are the two real reasons why you need to go on it.
Okay.
Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, you guys. I know it's going to be coming up on us pretty soon, but
right.
this information is just so, gee whiz. I don't know where to go from this.
I want to dig deep into this one question because I think I just want to make sure that everybody knows. So you're saying just stay at home, but I'm like, is there any like thing I can do to kind of like, do I just treat it like a common cold and just kind of like let it weather
right.
through, or do I call 911? Like, which one should I do?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Do I just stay in the bed? Do I take a warm bath? Like, what would you recommend I do if I caught it and I can't get medical attention right away, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure.
What are your recommendations?
I'm saying treat it like a common cold. Treat the symptoms like a
okay.
common cold. Until,
mm-hmm.
again, if you are part of the minority that gets severe shortness of breath or chest
okay.
pain, you know, one of those type of things. Other than that,
got it.
Just because, again, in the vast majority of patients, all it is the common cold or, you know,
right.
or the flu or whatever you want to call it. It's just in that
okay.
small minority of patients where it can really get, you know, souped up, that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to manage.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Will,
absolutely.
Is there a last one you want to ask before we get out of here? And, Doc, I don't know. Will, what do you think? Do you think we need to do a three, or what are we doing?
We might have to, man.
Because these are some good questions.
Is Doc – this doctor keeps giving me so much wealthy information. I just need to share it with people, man. This is just awesome. This is awesomeness personified. Thank you.
You all are asking the right questions. I mean, you know, because
yeah,
what I'm seeing on TV, you know, they're sensationalizing a lot of this stuff, and they're not asking the right questions, and so it leaves the community looking like, well, what is it that we're trying to do? What are we trying to achieve? So, again, that's why
right.
I like you guys, and you know, I think that, you know, all your viewers are getting the right information, not just the sensationalized, you know, talking
right.
heads. So I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah,
likewise,
thank you for being
man.
There,
likewise.
Of course. Really appreciate it, too. All right, so, Will, you got a last one? Because, I mean, we answered,
take
like,
care of
like
yourself.
Three questions in one.
Take care of yourself. Pay attention to what we're putting out here, people. You know, we're trying to get experts to talk about this stuff and erase the myths. You know, I want everyone to recover from this moment. I want us to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and say, man, remember when? You know what I'm saying? We're losing people left and right in this because misinformation and just ignoring the information that we put out. So please, please just pay attention to these professionals who are giving you this information. This is huge. And that's what I got.
Wow. Yeah, and I copied that. Dr. Brummer, do you have any last words that you want to leave us with?
No, you know what? Again, I just want to my condolences to my friend's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sean, you know, we are going to keep doing this for you and
yeah, man.
For everyone out there. To my Howard University family, you know, I love you, and we're going to keep doing it, man, every day.
That's right, man.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks,
folks. Tune in to the next one. All right, then.
Peace.